Joining us via Skype, Professor David Benatar, Director of the Bioethics Center at the Faculty of Health Sciences at UCT. Good morning, David, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Is it a good idea for me to know that the 74 cases in the Western Cape are primarily, I suppose, cases in Cape Town, and even more importantly, where in Cape Town they are spread?
I don't think that level of detail is necessary. One sees how quickly this virus spreads across the world. So whether they're in one suburb or an adjacent suburb, I don't think that's going to add much to what you need to know.
And I suppose the reality is it should not take away any of my responsibility to do what the president has instructed me to do, which is to self-isolate where possible, work from home, refuse to refrain from using public transportation, going to the gym or any of those gatherings that might expose me to a potential infected case.
Correct, exactly. So if you're taking those sorts of precautions, you're not going to need that further level of detail, although knowing the more specific geographic regions probably wouldn't compromise the identities, the anonymity of the patients suffering from those conditions. We do need to put a very high premium on confidentiality and privacy.
That is the key, right? I mean, our constitution rightfully protects the right to privacy of any and all patients, and we might very well be starting to identify the people that are testing positive for COVID-19 if we start locating where they are in Cape Town.
Well, as I say, I don't think that one would work that out simply by suburb, given the large number of people that are in each suburb. But we do not, of course, identify which patients are suffering from the condition or from any other condition, because medical confidentiality is, as I say, an extremely important principle. First of all, doctors and other healthcare professionals have made an undertaking to preserve confidentiality. And second of all, it's very important that there be public trust in doctors to preserve that. If people were at all worried that their identities would be revealed, they might not seek medical help. They may continue their lives as normal. That might pose a public health hazard in itself. So there are lots of reasons, both intrinsic and also instrumental, for why we should be preserving confidentiality.
What happens in instances where establishments and organizations, your university included, for example, says we can confirm there are 3 cases, I believe, at UCT now of COVID-19, while they do not go on to identify that it is Professor so-and-so or Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so, they do, though, geolocate, for lack of a better word, those 3 people at that institution?
Well, they are disclosing that sort of information, and I don't think that that compromises anybody's anonymity. But what it does is keep lines of communication open, so people are aware of how many cases there are within the university. It's good, I think, for employees to know that this is being monitored, that appropriate steps are being taken where somebody is identified as suffering from the condition, but at the same time preserving the confidentiality of the particular individuals.
We're also seeing on social media people identifying themselves. So someone would send out a tweet, for example, to their social media followers to say, I've just returned from a particular place that I traveled to recently. I had symptoms. I tested positive. And I'm imagining that the reason why they are declaring their status is so that anyone and everyone who's come into contact with them would then be invited, obviously, to go and have themselves checked out.
Well, people are, of course, perfectly at liberty to make disclosures about their own condition. There's no violation of confidentiality if somebody makes that disclosure about themselves or if they give somebody else permission to make such a disclosure. But we are not at liberty to make that disclosure about somebody else without their permission. So what those people are doing is absolutely fine, and there may be some value in that, but that's their prerogative to decide whether they want to disclose that publicly or not.
One of the reasons why I suppose I asked this question, I live in the center of town in the CBD, and my initial thought was, well, Africa, if you know that there are 24 of these 74 cases in the CBD, I would then act more appropriately and be more vigilant in obviously ensuring that I sanitize my hands, make sure that I keep to myself, I do not get close enough to the next person, stay away from gyms, supermarkets, those kinds of things. And there is And I was asking listeners in the previous hour what they thought of this and what whether they would want to know where people are located or not. And of course, as with any question of this nature, half of the listeners saying we definitely want to know, the other half saying no, and the other half saying no because it might then invite Capetonians and South Africans to be disobedient of whatever restrictions are being placed by the president. So if you know that in your suburb there is no reported case of COVID-19, you will then go to a restaurant and probably, you know, snuggle in a bottle of wine after 6 o'clock when you know that that is a restriction that is currently in place that is announced by the administration.
You're correct that it could lead to undue confidence. And the point is, as you indicated earlier, people should just be practicing universal precautions. In this sort of environment and given the rapidity at which the virus can spread, you shouldn't be determining your behavior based on whether somebody in your particular suburb has the condition or not. If it's not already in your suburb, it could come soon. And that's why we need to take the regular precautions.
Outside of the purview of this conversation, your impressions of how the administration has been leading the fight, I suppose, against COVID-19 so far?
That's not something on which I should comment. I don't know enough about it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I thought I'd try anyway. Professor, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you very much for your time this morning. Professor David Benatar, Director of Bioethics Center at the Faculty of Health Sciences at the University of Cape Town.